I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ah, you love to hear that sound. That means football is back, and tonight we have Falcons-Jets. On Monday Night Football, we'll take you live there shortly. Weather a little precarious down there in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And perhaps the only thing bigger than a game in the preseason is the return of the GOAT. The training camp practice as Tom Brady is back with the Bucs after an 11-day absence. That due to personal reasons. More to come on Tom Brady and the potential issues surrounding his offensive line. Field Yates, Adam Schefter to my left here in studio. We have, of course, Marcus Spears and Mina Kimes here for some great insight throughout the show. And we're going to begin in Carolina, as what was expected is now official. Baker Mayfield was formally named the Panthers' starting quarterback earlier today, holding off Sam Darnold in a competition this summer. Mayfield won't have to wait long for a shot at revenge against his old team as Carolina faces the Browns in week one. So the news of the day, not totally surprising, but the Panthers made it official. And the Browns, they play in week one, as I mentioned. He gets his former team right away. That game is in Carolina. Last season, Mayfield sort of struggled to produce while dealing with a shoulder injury. He's had the largest drop-off in total QBR of any quarterback to throw at least 200 passes in both 2020 and 2021. He went from ranking top 10 in touchdown to interception ratio in 2020 to ranking bottom 10 last season. All right, Swagoo, first word goes to you. If Baker can return to the player that he was back in 2020, how good can this Carolina offense be?
It can be explosive, babyface, and I don't think a lot of people talk enough about the weapons that the Carolina Panthers have. And you think about, obviously, Christian McCaffrey staying healthy, but being back, he changed the dynamic of how defenses have to play you. Robbie Anderson, legit wide receiver. DJ Moore is a legit wide receiver. There is enough offensively for them to be explosive. It's all been hinging on the quarterback play, being able to do more than just give the ball to Christian McCaffrey and tell him to make this offense go. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. We've seen Baker with a well-supported run game have some success in this league. We've also seen him have some trouble sometimes. Last year, obviously being injured, didn't have the best year, tried to play through it. But ultimately, this should be sort of a reviving thing for Baker Mayfield to get out of Cleveland and have these guys around him to play with.
Yeah, this isn't a particularly surprising decision. Field, you put up Baker's stats last year. As bad as those were, Sam Darnold's statistics were pretty much worse across the board. And we know that injury. We have seen him put together stretches of games, the likes of which Sam Darnold just simply hasn't in the NFL. I agree with Marcus. I actually really like these skill players. There's a lot to like in this Panthers offense, provided that offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo can coordinate an offense that's tailored to Baker's skill sets. But I do have a concern, and this concern arose while watching the Panthers in this last start, where left tackle
I know where you're going,
MK. Is a rookie, got his first start against the Patriots, and that is the offensive line, and it is particularly this offensive line against one of, if not the best pass rushers in the NFL in Myles Garrett. Look, Kwanu is a young player. He's going to get more comfortable in pass protection. But for week one, that's the kind of mismatch that could completely throw a game for Baker. It doesn't matter how good he is or how good the skill players are. If he can't stay protected for a decent amount of time, they're going to struggle to get anything going.
And Mina, that's exactly right. Ike Ekwonu struggled on Friday night against the New England Patriots. Yeah. And it looks like the Panthers' offensive line still needs to come together. And it needs to do it pretty quickly in time for the start of the regular season. But if you go back to the day that the Carolina Panthers traded for Baker Mayfield and proclaimed it in open quarterback competition, there were people that day that said, no, Baker Mayfield is going to win this job. And it almost feels as if this was going to be Baker's job, that it was ticketed to go to him from the moment that Carolina traded for him, because they were interested in him up to and leading to and past the NFL draft. They finally got a hold of Baker Mayfield. And even though it was an open competition, I think most people felt like it was going to be Baker's job. Today it became official, and now he's got to go make it happen behind a shaky offensive line.
And y'all, think about this dynamic. Think about where we were sitting two years ago, I think, now with Sam Darnold being traded from the New York Jets to the Carolina Panthers, and how excited they were to get Sam Darnold. I was on TV talking about this is going to resurrect his career, and now you got Baker Mayfield that's coming in a very similar situation, ousted by the team that drafted him very highly. He has an opportunity under Matt Rhule in this offense with Ben McAdoo to kind of revive himself, like I said earlier. But this is, and I'm with Mina, like that offensive line looked like a turnstile, but I guarantee y'all this, if we get midways or through this season and Baker Mayfield didn't perform at a high level, we will not be talking about this offensive line. We're going to be talking about Baker Mayfield and whether he's a starter in this league or not, because that's the conversation that has started about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and more quarterback news from Carolina. Third-round pick Matt Corral could be out for the season due to a Lisfranc injury. Matt Rhule, the head coach, announced that over the weekend. All right, let's get things moving here, as not only do we have – before we do that, though, take a look at the week one reunions. How about this? Not just Baker Mayfield. Russell Wilson could face off against his former team, Seahawks. Joe Flacco, if he starts in place of Zach Wilson, would take on the Ravens. Von Miller faces his former, even if brief, team, the Rams, plus Devontae Parker and the Patriots would out of Miami to play against the Dolphins. Now, it was a busy weekend of preseason action on the field, so let's take you around the NFL, and it turns out that Patrick Mahomes still pretty good at football. The Chiefs hosted the Commanders over the weekends, and Swagoo, second quarter, Chiefs lead 7-0. This is just easy money right here.
Babyface, it's vintage, man. I mean, making some difficulty look very easy. That's what we've grown enamored with Patrick Mahomes. His throw is so difficult. Ain't feet not right? Dan, talk about your hips and your shoulders aligning. None of that happened.
None of that happens. And how about the defense, too? First-round pick George Karlaftis getting in on the action with the Swagoo-style sack right there.
Man, I'm loving how Karlaftis is playing. When he came out of college, it was a lot of power. It was a lot of strong and strength rush. Now he's showing some moves. His hands were phenomenal coming out of college, and it's starting to translate. Hopefully he can add that pass rush that they need.
Chiefs win 24-14. Let's go to Buffalo, where things looked really easy for the Bills on Sunday. They hosted the Broncos, who were not playing their starters. Josh Allen, Jeffy, he has the look of perhaps a MVP favorite this season.
Well, he's got so much offensive talent around him. There you see Gabe Davis, and he's also got a running back in the backfield now that offers an element of explosiveness that they didn't have in James Cook. Let's take a look at James Cook here, field, and some of the things that he can do. In Buffalo's offense this year, takes the handoff from Josh Allen, scoots outside. Look at how quick and strong and elusive he looks. One more offensive weapon for the Buffalo Bills, which brings an element that they haven't had last year. The only thing that they haven't been able to do is run the ball effectively, and it looks like James Cook may have solved that this season.
Opportunity for a whoop, and there from you, no dice from Schiff. Let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers as they played against the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. And Mina, I got to tell you, both the quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky here, Kenny Pickett in a minute, have been pretty solid so far this preseason.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen Mitch Trubisky leading the ones, and so far, aside from a few hiccups, he's done a good job of doing so, getting the ball out fairly quick, at times flashing some of the athleticism we know he's capable of, has looked fairly accurate, decisive, cut down on some of the poor decision-making. Oh, gosh, is this about – no, this isn't the play where he almost threw an interception. Ooh. I was going to say right when I say decision-making, no. But for the most part, I think he has done a good job of holding on to that number one job.
He sure has, although Kenny Pickett making things a little bit more interesting here as we see Pickett enter the game after Trubisky, playing with some more of the depth-level players. And Mina finds Benny Snell on this play, on this upcoming play, excuse me.
Wow.
First one here, though, a near big play in the red zone to Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, hits him perfectly in stride. That's going to be a theme with Pickett so far this preseason, notably in this game. Climbing up that depth chart, right? So going past Mason off to that second role behind Mitch Trubisky. Feels like a plan is in place in Pittsburgh. And so far, Pickett has answered the bell with his good decision-making and his accurate throws.
There's the touchdown to Benny Snell Jr. that I was trying to get to one play too soon. That's live TV for you. Hey, last season, the Steelers ranked 31st in pass block win rate. Worth noting, given how much Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett have been under pressure so far in the preseason. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, Trubisky has completed just one of six passes when pressured.
Pickett has been better, completing 6 of 7 while posting a 150 passer rating. Here's head coach Mike Tomlin on his quarterbacks thus far.
You know, it's probably who he is. I know he did it next door. He probably did it in high school. He probably did it in Little League. Some things people are born with. I thought Mitch played well. I thought he created and extended some things when there wasn't much there. But we got to do a better job of protecting him and having some semblance of a run game if you want a fair evaluation. And I'm just being bluntly honest.
All right, Mike T, calling it how it always is. Mina, what more does Kenny Pickett need to do to potentially win this job?
Okay, I think Mitch Trubisky still has the job right now, but maybe this is because I watched House of the Dragon last night and I've got Succession drama on the mind. Pickett's been a little bit murkier because of Kenny Pickett. A couple of things jumped out to me from his performance this week.
Well, we may have lost Mina.
So quick, averaging a...
And she's back.
She's not.
Okay, so what you're seeing here is the ball... A thing he did in college field. He had a really long time to throw so far this preseason, 2.29 seconds per pass attempt, managed that 2-minute drill at the end of the half perfectly. And then the other thing, and again, you're seeing this on these drives, that anticipation and accuracy throwing over the middle of the field. Yeah. This is why I love the pairing of him and Diontae Johnson in particular, who excels in that area. If you can set him up to get yards after the catch, you're going to turn those 8-yard slants into 18 yards every single time. The only thing I would like to see now is him pushing the ball downfield a little bit more. So far this preseason, just 5.5 air yards per attempt. Some of that is by design. Only one deep passing attempt. So I think in week 3, if we see him again, that's something I'd like to see. But so far, this rookie has been...
Yeah, I think the feeling around the league has been that Mitchell Trubisky was in line to be the opening day starter, the favorite to be that guy. And when you talk to people now, here's what you keep hearing. That the young kid is, quote-unquote, coming on, and he's coming quick.
Yep.
And so I don't know when they're going to get to Kenny Pickett, but they're going to get to Kenny Pickett at some point in the season. I think, essentially, as soon as Mitchell Trubisky has a stumble early in the season, that'll open the door to get to Kenny Pickett and give Pittsburgh a chance to go to the quarterback that seems to get better at practice every single day, that seems to impress them more and more all the time, that seems to be, to use the words that I've heard over and over, coming on. And so when you look at this Pittsburgh class, rookie class, Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, Calvin Austin, quarterback, 2 wide receivers. Pittsburgh has found some young playmakers on the offense side of the football that look like they're going to be in fixtures in Pittsburgh for years to come.
You know what I love about what you just said, Shefty, coming on, because – this organization is going to put Kenny Pickett in a great situation. A lot of times we look at teams and we try to figure out, like, where are they when they draft a young quarterback? We had a crazy discussion about Justin Fields all year last year about how bad the situation was. And I was like, he needs to get in and play. But I think what Mitch Trubisky has done is afforded Mike Tomlin and them to make an honest, true evaluation and decision, which is key. And Kenny Pickett, like you said, is taking advantage of it. And you can see the maturity in him as a rookie. And you can see Mitch Trubisky out there fighting for this job, as Tomlin alluded to, extending plays, showing some of that athletic ability that we saw him display in Chicago. This is a good problem in Pittsburgh right now. I didn't see Mike Tomlin shaking his head talking about those guys need to do better. I heard him say we got to protect these guys better. And I heard him give Kenny Pickett the ultimate compliment about the way he plays and how he's played since he was playing Pee Wee football. I am glad we're having a conversation about both of these guys in a real competition. And they are going to make the Steelers, either one of these decisions, are going to make the Steelers a better football team than they were last year, because both these quarterbacks offer that second element of elusiveness and being able to extend plays. But Kenny Pickett is looking real Pittsburgh-y right now. That's a new word. Don't nobody steal.
I was going to say Pittsburgh-y. I'm going to write that one down in the dictionary. We'll see who ends up winning this job soon enough. Hey, we are just getting started here on NFL Live. And as we told you, we're going to go out to MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the field has been cleared due to rain and also lightning in the area. Laura and Dan are going to join us live. It might come from what looks like a bunker or a cave. More from them coming up here on NFL Live.
Field, you're looking very bristly.
Thank you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NFL Live is brought to you by Pizza Hut. No one out-pizzas the Hut. And take a look at a wet East Rutherford, New Jersey in just a moment as you see the stadium, MetLife Stadium. It's going to be a soggy one tonight, Monday Night Football. Of course, the game 8 p.m. Eastern Time follows. Monday NFL Countdown 7 Eastern on ESPN and The Gap. And the app, I should say. We have Dan Orlovsky and Laura Rutledge. Somehow they have avoided this soggy Monday afternoon out there at MetLife Stadium. Of course, they are half of the great crew that will be broadcasting the game tonight on ESPN. And Laura, take it away if you can hear me and if you guys are still dry by the end of this segment.
Yeah, Field, the funny thing is Dan's going to stay dry the entire night. I'm going to be the one out there in the elements. So that's been... He's got to protect the hair, the suit, the whole thing.
Let me play the mini violin for you.
I love it. I'm all about the elements. So anyway, this weather obviously affects how this game goes tonight. Sure. What we know from the Jets and some of the conversation out there right now, not expected to see Joe Flacco and many other starters. And, you know, on the Falcons side of things, you wonder how this affects them. Just so everyone knows, we've had a lightning delay out there. That's why we're not on the field aside from just the rain. But it's got to be in these coaches' minds, too.
Well, I think, first of all, anybody who lives in the Northeast knows we need this rain. So take it when we can get it. I think two things. This weather might force both coaches to reevaluate playing some of the starters that or veterans that they were planning on, because the field is probably going to be relatively slick. And then I think the second thing is, not only is it a good opportunity for the young kids, it's an added variable to this opportunity, because coaches are always, and the preseason is about a lot of young guys proving themselves to make rosters. They're trying to find guys or young players that can handle bad stuff. Like, hey, who do I trust that is going to be our 50 to 53rd guy on this team? He's a young player. I watched him play in the preseason game against the Falcons or against the Jets, and the weather was terrible, and he didn't complain, and he was focused on his assignments, didn't have any mental errors, and still performed at a good level. The weather is not great, but it's a variable that can add to these guys elevating themselves in comparison to the guys that they're competing for roster spots on the team.
Aside from tonight, this Jets roster has a ton of promise, and that's been the conversation around the offseason, right? The great draft, and if Zach Wilson can just step up and put it all together. Of course, we won't see Zach Wilson, potentially may not see him until a little bit into the season. They want to be conservative, even though the knee injury ended up not being nearly as severe as they thought, and he had a successful surgery. But when you look at this Jets roster, what sticks out to you?
Youth, optimism, and expectations. I mean, there's five or six guys that are going to be starters on this offense that are in their first or second year. There's going to be three or four guys in their defense that are rookies or starters that are going to have impactful parts on that defense. I think the optimism is this is probably the best roster, 1-53, in the last decade in New York. It's real talent, and it's not only real talent, it's guys that they believe are kind of made of the right stuff to continue to try and rebuild, not only have one good year, but consistently a good year. And then the expectations are higher. I have been outspoken saying that Zach Wilson, their second-year quarterback out of BYU, is in the best situation for all the second-year quarterbacks. Now, he's got to get healthy. He's got to get on the field to get those reps. But there's a lot of young talent that you sit there and say, and yes, it's always an if, but if Breece Hall becomes that three-down back that they're hoping for, and if Sauce Gardner becomes a lockdown corner, and if Garrett Wilson becomes that Davante Adams type of player, man, there's a lot of pieces in place that if it's Zach Wilson or somebody else, there's a lot of good stuff for a quarterback to go play in.
Yeah, Breece Hall, by the way, really stuck out to us at practice on Saturday. And speaking of that practice, we're there and we're watching in one of the end zones.
Yes.
And Garrett Wilson made one of the most unbelievable catches I've ever seen with my own eyes. You've seen more football than I have. but this guy basically landed in your lap while you're standing up there.
It reminded me a little bit. I think he had one like this against Clemson, maybe his freshman year in college football or something. But you watch him go up and make the catch, and or then the ball comes out of the quarterback's hand, you're like, oh, this one's going to hit me in the face, and I'm 10 yards out of bounds. Right. And then you watch him just elevate, and it's almost like watching like a basketball player, right? Like, they go up, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They keep going, and he lands right in front of us. Helmet pops off, and I'm like, do I give him the helmet? Do I not give him the helmet? Does he even know you? So I threw it to him. But it's one of those plays where you're like, oh, my gosh, man. Like, the freak jumps and body control he has are off the charts.
You saw it on the video there. I was talking to somebody else, and it shocked me so much I had to go up and talk to you guys about it because it was so
cool. Almost like your breath's taken away. It was one of those moments when you sit there and you're like, that is so rare and so talented.
And yet they said a lot of the people who have been there regularly for Jets practice, he's doing that all the time. Yeah. It is so easy for him because of his basketball background, but it's why many people end up likening him to a ballet dancer of sorts. He's so controlled but also can get up so high. Shout out to the ballerinas out there.
I had to get in. You don't know anything about that.
Oh, man. Hey, Boogie, right, Boogie, so I wanted to ask Dan, how did it feel to be around that level of athleticism?
Oh.
Did you feel like...
Oh, Dan.
It's a good question. Since I spend basically every day with you, it was a very unique opportunity.
Swaggo, we wanted some to rub off on him a little bit. He's been trying to get it hops ever since. And he only jumps up about this
time. He took his breath away. Dan. He just never did that before.
You've never done it either now.
Hey, tune in to see Dan's athleticism live on TV tonight as he broadcasts the game with Lewis Riddick and
Steve Levy. I'm going to jump over this.
Don't do that. You're splashing water on me. All right. Back to you, Field. You got me all wet, Dan.
Yeah, Dan, come on now. Show some manners, will you? We all want to see that 3-inch vertical, but wait till after the live shot is done and you're in a dry surroundings. Look, hey, looking forward to seeing both Dan and Laura on the call tonight for Jets and Falcons. Hey, coming up, Packers wide receivers are still on the hot seat after some dropped passes. Head coach Matt LaFleur's frustration is as clear as day.
You can't make the same mistake twice. Not in this league. We don't have time for it.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And... boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here at NFL Live, let's go around the league with our top stories. And Shefty, take it away from New Orleans first.
Well, Field, Jameis Winston back at practice in 7-on-7 drills. You remember he hurt his right foot during practice 2 weeks ago. But now with the season coming closer, with the foot feeling better, with the knee making progress, Jameis is back at practice. And that's a good sign for the New Orleans Saints, who need him to blend together with their new offensive teammates. Meanwhile, the Giants' first-round draft pick, Kayvon Thibodeau, sprained his MCL on this play. He is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks, and the Giants' regular season opener is in 20 days, which makes it dicey whether he'll be able to play. Brian Daboll said he's day-to-day, but it certainly sounds like he's no lock to play in week one against the Tennessee Titans. And Tom Brady has returned from his 10-11-day hiatus to resume practicing with the Buccaneers. Took some time to attend to quote-unquote personal things. But let's just point out the unique nature of this. I don't think there's ever been a player, certainly of his stature, that has ever taken 10, 11 days off this close to the regular season. So clearly, it was time he felt he needed to get done.
Yeah, unique situation. That much is for sure. It's good to see him back on the field. But here's his head coach, Todd Bowles, earlier today on Brady in the offensive line.
Anytime you have all your guys back, you feel good, you know, especially after the injury bug has hit lately. So we're happy to have them back. It goes from day to day, you know. It goes from day to day, whether you play them or not play them. We'll make those decisions at the end of the week. You know, I've seen people play and be used to it. I've seen people not play and be rusty and be used to it, you know. So we'll discuss it at the end of the week and see how much work we get done in practice this week. You know, we like our in-house options, but there's got to be a player available for us to like to have an added player. We're not just going to sign one, so there's nothing out there for us to sign, but at the same time, we're comfortable with the guys we have right now.
All right, so Mina, Todd Bowles says that he is comfortable with the offensive line despite some recent attrition. How concerned are you right now about the state of affairs amongst the offensive line that over the past two seasons has been arguably as good as there is pass protecting in the NFL?
I am not comfortable with it. I am deeply uncomfortable. I am nervous. This is the one position that the Bucs really could not afford injuries at. Maybe the other being inside linebacker behind Levante David. But, boy, just not just to lose one player, but to lose a string of offensive linemen the way they had. Obviously, the trade for Shaq Mason worked out to bolster the interior of the offensive line. But then to lose Ryan Jensen, their center, they're going to replace him in-house with Ryan Hainsey. And then now, again, to have another injury of this magnitude with Aaron Stinney out. I know they have Luke Getekiu they drafted, but the problem field is it's not like you're just replacing one player on the offensive line. And obviously the tackles are still set with Tristan Wirfs and Donovan Smith. But when you start replacing multiple players is when you run into problems. And we all know, this is not a surprise to anyone, that interior pressure has long been the biggest way to stop Tom Brady. So again, to lose players exactly in that spot, it's the kind of thing that, while it won't stop the Bucs from getting to the playoffs, could prevent them from getting that number one seed, which we know is all too important in the extended postseason.
Yeah, okay. Listen, to downplay this is crazy to me, okay? You talking about the interior offensive line. Every defensive meeting I sat in before we played Tom Brady, the word was, if we can get interior pressure, we can make Tom Brady normal. Mm. That was the word. That was the game plan playing against him. And now, interchangeable parts, you lose a lot of experience. You lose guys that played in the Super Bowl and won one. Not to mention Jensen and the rapport that you build, but look at this list. Ali Marpet gone, Kappa gone, starters in the Super Bowl. Ryan Jensen, starter in the Super Bowl. Aaron Stinney now out. Rob Gronkowski, who we don't talk about enough as a premier blocker at the tight end spot, who they use on their outside zone plays, is out. Like, listen, this is for everybody to, and not to mention Todd Bowles being there as a new head coach. Todd Bowles probably like, man, come on, man. We talking about Aaron Rodgers coming back. Todd Bowles like, oh, you throw me in this fire the first year without half of my offensive line. And think about this, y'all. We sat here 2 years ago, or 3 years, one of them, my time running together.
Relative.
And we talked about the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line being deficient against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that was the sole reason. Mm-hmm. The big reason why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won a Super Bowl. And now there's this calm about losing the entire interior of an offensive line with Tom Brady, who's 45, playing quarterback. I ain't that calm about it. I don't know how anyone else can be, especially when we come off a playoff game, when we see Aaron Donald make the game-changing type plays to win the football game. And now you're going to implement new offensive linemen. I'm a little bit paused at this, and I'm sure Tom Brady is saying, bro, I might have should have stayed at the crib. Mm.
And when Swaggoo put up that list of all the players who will not be back, including Rob Gronkowski and Alex Kappa and Ryan Jensen, what I was thinking is they struggled to keep pace with New Orleans with that cast.
Correct.
And now the cast is downgraded, and New Orleans believes that this division is well within its grasp and that there's no reason that they can't win the division. And that's the reason they traded their first in the draft in 2023 to get an extra one in 2022, because they felt like Tampa was vulnerable, and that was before some of these injuries and some of these other moves. So New Orleans feels like it's in a great position, and Tampa seems vulnerable at the spot where they cannot be, where they need to protect Brady, where, as Mina mentioned, his kryptonite is up the middle.
Yeah, and many quarterbacks have a similar kryptonite, and Brady and the Bucs, and really Brady and the Patriots, over the many, many years he's been playing in the NFL, have been able to withstand departures here or there. It just feels like there's been a larger aggregate impact on the Bucs this offseason as compared to previous years for Brady and his team. And all this talk about offensive line play has us thinking about Tom Brady and then maybe the potential need for him to have to scramble a bit more this offseason. And he is underrated as a runner, Swaggoo. So let's go ahead and roll the tape of Tom Brady's top five runs of all time. You may have heard back in 2002, Tom Brady against the then Oakland Raiders. Look at Brady. Break the pocket. Gets the first down. And watch him stand up here. There's Charles Woodson. He's like, he was down. Watch Brady get up here, though.
Only Tom Brady has magnificent runs that go for 8 yards.
Give me that spike right there, touchdown. Hey, and number four, Brady has always been the ultimate competitor, especially when the game is this close. He is a great quarterback sneaker near the goal line, especially. How many times has he gone up over the top? 4-6 points. You see it right
It's a dual threat. He's a dual threat.
He is a
dual threat. He's an original.
Just a different kind of dual threat.
That's all. Explain that to me. Is it the timing?
Yeah, I think it is. And decisiveness. Number three, 7-14, 2014. Look at Brady. He's like, I got Shane Vereen. Oh, wait, never mind. No, I don't. I don't need Shane Vereen.
Let's go.
He's just a fast run back. What am I? I'm an even faster quarterback. Galloping Tom Brady down to the 3 yard line for the first down.
Whew. How about get down. He started feeling himself. That looked like Dan. That looked like Dan.
Tom Brady about to get his high step on October 13th of 2013. And watch this one. Breaks the pressure. Get those feet up in the air, Tom.
And slide. Get those legs up.
Let's go.
This is actually a really good run. I know we're kidding around.
That's a good run. That's a good run.
Number one, almost fourth, Brian Urlacher into retirement. Watch this. Okay, Urlacher, Hall of Fame linebacker, known for his speed and range.
That's unbelievable. And that's 16 years ago. 16 years ago.
It was the Barry Sanders.
Yeah, man, Tom Brady's still playing. Meanwhile, Urlacher has lost and regrown his hair since that time.
And guess what? If they had thrown him the pass in the Super Bowl and he had held on to it, we would have had another run to tack onto those five.
Wow, Brady, all you had to do was catch it, put the biscuit in the basket. The dual threat quarterback, Tom Brady, that
dual threat quarterback.
He talks about swag. He does not get nearly enough respect. We're just too focused on that right arm.
If he ever thought he was dual threat then, he damn sure going to have to be dual threat this year with what's happening with this offense.
With all that pressure, that's right. Brady could set a career high for rushing yards in a season, which I think would be like 12. Next on NFL Live, we dive into all things young quarterbacks. The old guy, now the new guy. Mac Jones made his debut with the Patriots and the offensive approach they're going with this year. Plus, why Tua might not be set up for success even with his new weapons? Our analysts chime in on that one.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's dive into the highlights again here on NFL Live. The Patriots hosting the Panthers. Mac Jones fired up for his preseason debut. Maybe a little too fired up here, Swaggers, on the Patriots' second drive, kind of overshoots Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, babyface, Mac was hype. This is not him. He's an accurate passer, as we hear all the time. And then,
he comes back around here. The next drive, how about this? This is a bucket, dime in the bucket right here from Mac to Nelson Aguilar.
It's beautiful, man. Put it only where Nelson could get it. Kept him on the sideline, but not out of bounds. And this was just great ball placement. This is why everybody was excited about Mac Jones' rookie year.
And, of course, the Patriots went on to score on that drive. 20-10 the final there. Patriots beating the Panthers. Let's go to Miami, AFC East. We stay right there. Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins hosting the Raiders. Mina's getting some footwork in before the game. We're all talking about the wide receivers this year, but the offensive line kind of got banged around early, as you see on this first Chase Edmonds run.
Ooh, that's one of those highlights where you could hear it even when the sound is not on. My goodness, struggling to get any run blocking from the very jump.
Yeah, worth noting, no Teron Armstead for Miami in this game, but here's Tua with time, and he makes good on this one, finding Chase Edmonds, who very good as a catch, as a pass catcher, and very good after the catch, too, Mina.
Yeah, you know what I love there from Tua? We know that he's accurate on these underneath balls, but just a little bit of creation there, right? Pocket breaks down, stepping up into the left, throwing on the run. That's something we want to see more of from him, especially when this offense has him on design rollouts as well.
16-yard pickup here from Tua to Trent Sherfield off of play action. Sherfield, of course, signed on a one-year deal this offseason after previously playing for Mike McDaniel in San Francisco. Mina, we just saw some of the highlights, and I think you probably know where the what the answer is, but what's your biggest concern for Tua and the Dolphins right now in offense?
I swear, Dolphins fans, I do not have a vendetta against your offensive line. The pass protection looks better. The run blocking is a concern. Like, you don't want to take too much from just two drives, which is what Tua played, and you had most of the starters in, aside from Teron Armstead, who was out. But in those two drives, 5 carries for 3 yards is not a stat line you want to see. And this is a trend that has persisted throughout the preseason. And it's concerning, not just for the run game or lack thereof, which was really a problem last year, but also because in this Mike McDaniel offense with Tua, so much of the pass game is predicated on having a good run game. You're going to see a ton of play action, those RPOs, which we know you want to have defenses also respect the run. Having Tua boot out, again, you don't want that weak side defensive end crashing down on him every time. You hope it looks better with Armstead back, but he is just one offensive lineman. And I think this offense really, really needs improvements in its blocking in order for me to feel better about the rest of the offense.
It always starts up front. It
seems prayers like it always for your mentions.
Here. I know, Mina, but Mina and Dolphins fans, it's the love-hate relationship, swag goo. They can hash things out on Twitter later. Hey, if you checked out some UFC coverage over the weekend, they got their football fix in. Is UFC president Dana White said that he had helped broker a deal that nearly sent Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to the Raiders back in 2020. No, I am not making this up. Take a listen.
I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And all hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. And Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming. So Las Vegas would have had Brady and Gronk the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl. Except Gruden blew the deal up. And there's so much story that goes along with this behind the scenes. And I was never going to tell that story till Gronk just said it. But
And Dana, that is exactly what happened. And you just told the story.
Well, Gronk validated it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we're not going to question Dana White. Clearly, there was something going on. And if you go back to the Super Bowl at that year, there was a lot of speculation.
From you. It wasn't speculation. It was reporting from you, Chef.
It was reporting from you. That the Raiders might have interest in Tom Brady. And from what I remember them hearing about them thinking about mulling whether they wanted to do it. Well, Dana White provided the answer there. And I don't think they were the only other team out there. There are other teams that pondered making a move for Tom Brady as well. The 49ers pondered a move. The Chargers pondered a move. There were a lot of people thinking about Tom Brady. Only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were smart enough to go ahead and actually do it.
Well, initially when I heard Dana White, my first thought was that yak then kicked in, baby. He finna let it all go. All right? The second thing is, I don't know. Derek Carr, Mina knows this. Derek Carr, one of my favorite players in the NFL. Mm. I call him Young Johnny Cash. But if you got the opportunity to get Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, you blow the deal up? That blows my mind. That is the real story here. It ain't that he tried to broker a deal. It's the fact that John Gruden didn't want Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to come play for the Las Vegas Raiders while he was the head coach. Go ahead, MK.
You sound like Tom Brady himself on The Shop. I'm sure you guys have seen that clip of Brady talking about a mystery team that stuck with their quarterback. He used some, I think it was bleeped out what he said, but you're really sticking with that dude. Well, the mystery quarterback has possibly been identified. listen, for young Johnny Cash, though, this season.
Going to say, Mina, exactly it what you just gasoline. Said. You're sticking with that, and the rest of it we can't actually
see. Mina's connecting the dots. Mina's connecting the dots.
Yeah, a story that's going to have tentacles that seemingly will come out of the woodwork every year. It's just a saga that never
ends.
Coming up, Rodgers, Cobb, and LaFleur have called out the Packers' wide receiver room with the season around the corner. Hear if Mina and Marcus are also concerned by all the pass drops in Green Bay.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So everything is being studied closely as the Packers adjust to life without Davante Adams, and drops amongst wide receivers been a bit of an issue so far this preseason. Here's head coach Matt LaFleur with more on the Butterfingers.
I appreciate this about Aaron. It's just the urgency to get some of this stuff corrected. I mean, you can't make the same mistake twice. Not in this league. We don't have time for it. And that's just enough time to get you beat. So certainly he's the ultimate competitor, and you know, I think it's good for these guys to feel that, because we got to make sure that they continue to show progress each and every day. And you know, it'll be a good opportunity today to see how these young guys respond.
So Matt LaFleur's frustrations with the drops are pretty well warranted. As you see, according to NFL Next Gen stats, the Packers have the highest drop percentage of any team this preseason, 10.5%. So, Swaggy, let me ask you, how much concern do you have for the Packers at this point?
Man, it's concerning for me because, one, Aaron Rodgers makes the most death-defying throws in the NFL, and he expects his receivers to understand that even when you don't think you're open, I can throw you open. Mm. And that is why this is, to me, more than just a normal guys dropping the football. We've sat here so many times and saw throws that Aaron Rodgers has made and said only he will do that. And for us, for the normal human, that's putting the ball in harm's way. For him, that's just a Sunday occurrence. So for these young guys to not only understand that, but to understand how important it is in the way that they play football in Green Bay, I do think Aaron Jones and obviously Dylan will be successful out of the backfield. I do believe that the short intermediate game will have success, but we're talking about those plays that Davante Adams understood about Aaron Rodgers. Those plays in crunch and critical times in the game where he's going to throw you the ball even though you don't have separation on the guy that's defending you and expect you to make plays. So I think it's a big thing with the drops. If we were like we could talk about dropping the ball on a crossing route when a guy's trailing you, or over route when a guy's trailing you. We can go crazy about that and lose our minds. But the degree of difficulty in which sometimes you're going to have to make catches based on how Aaron Rodgers and his ability to throw the ball unlike anybody else in spots, these guys got to start making plays and get on rapport early, because that is how Aaron Rodgers has thrived in this league for so long.
That's such a good point. I think the Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams back shoulder fade looked so easy for so long that we might have taken it for granted. I mean, it literally would look like a handoff, but so much went into that ball, not just on Aaron Rodgers' side in terms of the perfect placement, but Davante Adams, the release, the leverage, his awareness of space, and of course his incredibly sure hands. Now suddenly that's gone and effort enters the equation. I'm not terribly worried, though, because for the most part, I think with these drops, we are talking about young players. And to your point, Marcus, especially early on in the season, I expect both running backs, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, to catch a lot of balls. Alan Lazard, of course, Robert Tonyan coming back. But to me, for the Packers to really go from being an obvious playoff team to a Super Bowl contender, you need one of those young wide receivers to make the leap. I have loved watching Romeo Doubs this preseason. Speaking of releases, oh my God, that guy off of the line is incredible.
Yeah.
Really impressed. His ability to stack receivers, his ability to separate. However, if he doesn't have sure hands, none of that's going to matter. Mm. So it is really important, I think, more so on the margins than it is to whether or not this Packers team is going to be, you know, felled by these drops.
Well, maybe it'll be the backs catching more balls than in the past. Even today, Matt LaFleur said that Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon.
Quadzilla.
And 1A.
Yeah.
So that's how he described Jones and Dillon today, and there may be a larger role for those backs today.
Fantasy alert right there from Adam Schefter. Just a couple weeks away from the War Room draft. We can't wait for that. Hey, it's time now for one more thing to wrap up the show, and in case you missed it earlier, Dan Orlovsky and Laura Rutledge had a front row seat to a sweet catch from Jets rookie wide receiver Garrett Wilson. Look at how stunned Dan Orlovsky is. He's getting shades of Calvin Johnson in front of him on this catch right here.
Look at this.
Go up and get him. There's Dano right there. Laura, a couple feet away.
He's standing there.
Watch the game.
It looked like he's just being cool and not moving.